Hello, friends and dear ones. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America, with my wife, Tarina Mwamba. We are here to bless you. It's early in the morning today on Friday, the month of June, and we're getting close to the end of the month. You know, friends, life has a demand on us. Life demands that we do certain things to survive. And one of them is work. You know, Paul said, if a man does not work, he is not gonna eat. Which means if you don't work, man, you're gonna go hungry. You won't have the things that you need. Life is gonna be tough. And so starting from biblical times to even now, people have worked. Without work, my friend, we can't survive. Nations are built upon the hard work of the citizenry. People in the country work in the mining company like in Zambia, in factories like here in the United States, in institutions. It depends on whatever calling that you have that God is gonna has blessed you with. You have to work and work and work until the day when God will give us a relief and say, okay, enough is enough. I'm going to protect you henceforth. But in the meantime, my friends, we have to work to get the money to do the things that we want to do. But today, you know, I want to talk about the power of prayer. The power of prayer. Now, when you look in the book of Matthew, chapter number 6, start reading from verse number 5. If you have a Bible, turn with me to the book of Matthew. And chapter number 6, we're going to start reading from verse number 5. Matthew 6, verse number 5. Listen to the word of the Lord. Verse number 5. Oh, my lamp is over there. The light is over there. Listen to the word of the Lord. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Absolutely, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who is in the secret place, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you even ask. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So you can see here the Lord laid out a pattern, a blueprint for prayer. But the main thing you see from Jesus' dialogue here is about secrecy. He says, go into your closet, go into your chamber, your private chamber, close the door, and then pray to God who sees in secret. So, you know, the Sadducees, as according to my knowledge, were a masterpiece of a show-off group. The Pharisees and Sadducees, they want to show off when they pray. They pray long prayers and decorate it with nice ways, thinking that that's how God is going to hear them. But you see, here Jesus said, don't be like a hypocrite. Just pray precise prayer. For even before you go to ask from God, God knows what you are requiring him for. And so our prayer must be specific and to the point. Paul, I think, is the one who says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, is dynamic in its working, is powerful in its working. What's righteous? You see, when you are holy, we say you're righteous. When you are holy, you're not walking in sin, you're blameless, and your conscience does not condemn you. When you pray, your prayers are very, very powerful. You know, Elijah, he prayed that the heavens bring forth no rain over Israel. And guess what? For 3.5 years, it never rained over Israel. Why? Because a righteous person had just prayed. You see, we as righteous people, when we pray, God will hear us and God will answer. Through our righteousness, we can pray with confidence that God is going to do the miraculous. You understand me? The miraculous come with the purity of heart when we think of our Lord and we give of ourselves totally to Him and surrender our lives to His keeping. That's when we're going to see the power of God manifest greatly in our life. You see, Paul encourages us to pray. Elijah, the Bible says, according to Paul, was a man of like faith, just like us. But he prayed that it rained not, and it never rained for 3.5 years. So if Paul could pray a prayer of that kind of magnitude, I mean, Elijah could pray a prayer of that magnitude, how much more us? We are led of the Spirit. We are children of God. Even us, my friend, when we separate ourselves and cry to God from the bottom of our hearts, God will intervene, God will hear, and God will answer. See, many things are not done in our lives because we don't ask for the greatness of the power of God to intervene. We don't pray. You see, prayer will change things. Prayer will cause 3 fish and 5 loaves of bread, yeah, to be multiplied and feed 5,000 people. And so, my friend, let me tell you what. It's mandatory for each and every one of us to pray. But when we pray, we must be sincere. We must not live double standard lives and expect God to bless us. We must live lives of purity, lives of surrender, lives where we say, Lord, you are in total control. When we live such lives, guess what? God will come down and intervene in our lives and do exploits for us to see His mighty hand. You know, in my life, I've prayed to God over different kinds of situations, and I can assure you that God has heard me. I remember one time when certain things had gone out of perspective. It wasn't my doing. It wasn't my thing. But this guy I was with caused such problem that the police will have come and taken all of us. But God intervened after separating me from what was going on and not, you know, condescending to the lawlessness of thinking. You see, when you pattern your life in the footsteps of the Lord, God will cause you to avoid a lot of calamity in life. You see, you might end up with wicked people. You might end up with people who don't have faith like you. You might end up with people who do not acknowledge the presence of God. But let me tell you what. When you are faithful to the Lord and you pray to Him, God will protect you every time. I remember in Zambia, when the house we lived in, we got it through the management of a big conglomerate, ZCCM, Zambia Mining Corporation. The president gave a directive that sitting tenants were to get those homes and live in them. Us being not miners and renting to the mines, you know, it seemed like we would not qualify. But something hit us and said, no, we must claim, we are sitting tenants, and so we must claim that this is our home. So we started claiming by faith, just praying. And guess what happened? We ended up buying that house. So that's how it is in life, my friend. You have to believe God for the impossible. You have to lay yourself prostrate and say, God, I trust in no other but you. When you have such kind of faith in God, he's going to move on your behalf and do exploits. See, the God we serve is a God of exploits. When we don't see exploits, then something is wrong somewhere. Many times, if we are moving or walking in the trespasses and sins, you know, we won't see the power of God. But when we walk in righteousness, holiness, and cleanliness, guess what we're going to see? We're going to see the miraculous. We're going to see the mighty move of God. We're going to see great things begin to happen in our lives. And so, friends, we see also a mighty warrior of prayer, Abraham. He prayed for his nephew Lot, who was locked up in Sodom. Abraham began to plead with God when God revealed to him that he was going to destroy Sodom because the sin of them people had reached heaven. You understand? And so God sends these angels to come and execute judgment on Sodom. But, you know, we are told in the Bible that we, as men of righteousness, we can ask for God's intervention and he's going to hear us and he's going to intervene on our behalf and save us from calamity. But we see here Abraham praying for his nephew Lot. The Bible said he set 50 as a number to believe God that Lot maybe could have evangelized in Sodom and at least 150 people to the Lord. But the Lord said, if there be 50 in the city of Sodom, I'll surely spare it and not destroy it for the sake of the 50. Because I believe Father Abraham was thinking, hey, Lot has been there for so many years. He must have evangelized. See, there are many of us, we have the light of the Lord. We have the word of the Lord, but we don't share with others to bring them into the kingdom of God. You see, we have to expand and grow the kingdom. You see. And so we see here that, you know, Abram continued to pray, to petition. That's another way of praying. You petition God, you intercede on behalf of others. He said, well, Lord, if there be 50, would you destroy? Until it came to 10. And, you know, there were not even 10 people righteous in the city of Sodom that God would spare the city. And so he told Abraham to leave the city with all his family, with all his children, for judgment had been passed upon Sodom. It was going to be destroyed. The Bible tells us that Abraham, when the time came, as Lot, actually the nephew of Abraham, when the time came for him to leave, because the angels told him, get all your family together in a house, for we are going to destroy this place. The Bible tells us that Lot began to beg the angels. He said, please don't send me to the mountains. If I found favor in your sight, can you send me to this little place over here by Zoar? You see, many times we want to compromise with the things of God. We want to dilute the strength and power of the things of God. So these angels heard and, you know, said to Lot, okay, we'll do just like you have said. And so the wise men came to see that there is surely the power of God. For what happened was that the angels came to take Lot and they told him, do not let anybody look back. Just go on ahead. You see, when we look back to the things we used to do, we start to admire the parties we used to go to, we began to lose our focus in God and we began to deviate and we are not pleasing to God again. But you see, when we please God, when we stand our ground, just like Abram did, crying for his nephew Lot, until Lot was saved because of the prayers of Abraham. But the Bible said there was not even 10 righteous in the city. And the Lord God destroyed the city of Sodom with fire and brimstone raining from heaven. So we must know the dangers of playing with the fire of God. If you don't walk in the integrity of God, if you do not succumb to the will of God and you want to do your own stuff, there will come a day when things are not going to change positively for you. And you're going to be gone just like the rest of them. And so I challenge you, my friend, to be a person of prayer. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You begin to supplicate. You begin to praise the name of Jesus. You begin to praise God for who he is. And you know, as you do, you're drawing the presence of God to come and to your situation. So it happened with Lot. As this great man of God prayed, nothing happened because there was no location of this man. But eventually, as the prayers ascended, guess what? God provided a way where there was no way. See, with our God, when we cry to him and pray, he will intervene and provide a way where there is no way. And so I challenge you today, even as Lot was saved, though his wife, the wife of Lot, looked back and she became a pillar of salt. She disobeyed the word of God. See, for leadership in church, those who are apostles and pastors, when you disobey God, the price is bigger than the church going member who, when they mess up, it is a different situation. And so I challenge you, friends, let's be prayerful. Let's build the kingdom of God and let's see the mighty things that God has promised to come to pass. God bless you. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba signing off from Dallas, Texas, and saying, be blessed, for God is on your side and on my side. God bless you, and bye-bye.